Yeah, we've come a long way. Got a long way to go, but we're getting there. You know, we have 8 days now of glorifying God, growing closer to God, of fellowshipping with friends. It's one of life's greatest pleasures. It's a large part of why we're here. You know, we get together, we review memories, we take pleasure in the present, and then we look with anticipation to the future things that are coming. The Bible speaks of a friend who will stick by you, stick closer than a brother. How would you describe a friend like that? There's an author by the name of Charles Kingsley that wrote a definition of a friend. I'd like to read that for you. A blessed thing it is for any man or woman to have a friend, one human soul whom we can trust utterly, who knows the best and the worst of us, and who loves us in spite of all our faults, who will speak the honest truth to us while the world flatters us to our face and laughs at us behind our backs, who will give us counsel and reproof in the day of prosperity and self-conceit, but who again will comfort and encourage in a day of difficulty and sorrow, when the world leaves us alone to fight our own battles as we can, he'll be there. That's a pretty good definition of a friend. And we have friends. Some of them get right up to that expectation, but they're good friends. And I know, Louise's brothers, for instance, see, he's an old cotton farmer down there in Lubbock. And so about every morning, he'll meet with a bunch of old characters in the cotton gin down there. And it's just an informal meeting. They'll sit there and they'll play dominoes. Big part of his life. It means a lot to him. And, you know, I've got a friend that I meet with about every week. It's very important to me. And we discuss all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we're there maybe an hour. Sometimes maybe it runs till late morning. But we always feel better when we have friends like that we can have a little time with and leave. We encourage each other. We chastise each other. We just bring good conversations. It's nice to have those things. Well, you know, it'd be good if we all had a friend like that, that would lift our spirits and make us feel better, and we could just meet and have coffee with them from time to time. And when you stop and think about it, we really do. We have a friend who fits that description and more, who loves us in spite of our failures, one who is always ready to forgive and yet always there in time of need. Now, if we could meet with him at certain times and so on, what do you think he might have to say to us? Perhaps you would hear something like this. You are mine. I created you. It was I that formed you in your mother's womb. I loved you then and I love you now. For I have formed you in my image. I have great plans for you. Wonders that will leave you wide-eyed and breathless for the thrill of it all. Now, I have given you a brief view of life, a glimpse into eternity with all its marvels. I want to give you life on a permanent basis. I want to give you eternal life. But it must be your choice. And I will respect your wishes. You did not ask for life. I gave it to you free. Without cost. Without obligation. Do with it as you will. For I have given you free choice. The life I have given you comes with a promise. I promise that I will be with you through every hardship, disappointment, and pain. I will never leave you or forsake you, for you are mine own handiwork. And I will raise you up on that last day and set you in a seat of honor at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You are mine, and I love you. I am your advocate, a mediator between you and the Father. I represent you and plead your case before the Father. I am well qualified because I came as flesh and have felt every pain, every disappointment, and every humiliation known to man. I am the firstborn of the great harvest of the earth. I sit at my Father's right hand, constantly reminding Him of your frailty, your needs, and your sorrows. I am the Word spoken of in John 1. Who was with the Father from the very beginning and made all things. Can you imagine how many more things He would tell us if we could just meet with Him on a regular basis, as we do with our buddies? But wait. Isn't there a special time that He has set aside for that specific purpose? Oh, why, of course. The seventh day. He called it the Sabbath. He made it especially for you and me. He set aside a 24-hour period, and we have His promise that He will be there. Will you? But where is there? Well, that's the beauty part. There is not a church. There is not a temple or even a synagogue. There is a space in time. A space in time that God sanctified and made holy. What a wonderful concept. Only a God that created time itself could conceive of a way that no matter where you are, whatever your circumstance, you can be present with God and He with you at that specified period of time that He sanctified for you. Let us then revere our appointment with our friend by preparing ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, as is fitting, as appearing before a king, listening to His wisdom, experiencing His love, accepting His forgiveness, and His grace. Truly, our friend, our God, far surpasses Charles Kingsley's definition of a friend. Y'all have a good feast, you hear?